Mark chapter 8 this morning. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. As a Christian, that is our job, to follow the Lord and wherever he may lead. Now, does that mean we have to die on the cross ourselves? No, but there is a... Now, what does it mean when we take up our cross? That means to take up Christianity as it was meant to be. That's what we're looking to do. We're asked to daily live as a Christian. He goes on to say, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. Verse 36, for what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's a great question, right? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the value you put on life. Lord, thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you lead us and guide us. Lord, I pray as we open up your word here this morning that you would speak to our hearts through it. Encourage us. Lord, help us to align our thinking and views to how you see things and how you want us to think, Lord. Lord, help us with that. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As many of you know, I'm not sure if you've heard, more than just Christmas decorations have been going up. There are lawn signs, and people are flying flags no matter where you're at, on this side or that side. And we are coming up on a major election on Tuesday. If you have not voted, some of you got a chance to participate in early voting. Maybe you decided, hey, I don't want to have to mess with that, and you send in your absentee ballot. Great. All of that. Maybe if you get an opportunity to do both, I recommend that. But then on Tuesday, if you have not voted, make sure you block out some time and you get to the polling places. Don't let the news scare you away. Just go there, wait in line, even if you got to wait. It is a privilege of, as a citizen of the United States of America, to have the opportunity to vote. I recommend when a young person turns 18, you go to the post office, do all of that, and register to vote. It's easy, it takes just a couple minutes, and then you're set for the rest of your life. And vote often, every chance you can. Primaries, everything, do that. One of the main topics that are discussed, if you watch any conflict of interest between two parties, is the value of life. And this morning, we're going to attempt to biblically look at what the Bible says about the value of life, and ask the question, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If we're to exchange things, my children yesterday went with their aunt and got some candy, and they came home and they took their candy and they looked at, okay, I'll give you a Milk Dud for a Jolly Rancher. They exchanged. Now, if you love Milk Duds, you wouldn't give that up because the value of Milk Duds is so much higher than Jolly Ranchers, in my opinion. You know, it's funny how things have value. We've spoken of this. You know, the cost of a piece of paper or a piece of cardboard is really nothing, I mean, in itself. But what makes it valuable? Some of our young people, remember last winter when you went to youth camp and they sold winter camp? They sold a bottle of Goya soda. I mean, anybody ever sell that Malta Goya stuff? Brother Rice, how much is that? A dollar? A dollar? Would you spend $10 on one bottle of Malta Goya? No. How about $100? Not a chance. How much did they sell it for? $750. Say, what made that so valuable? Well, everybody wanted it, and all the money that they took in was going to a missionary family. So all of a sudden, that bottle of soda became valuable. Cardboard, you know, it's just a cardstock, but you put a certain person's name or face on there, all of a sudden, it's worth $1 million. Something's value is worth what someone is willing to pay for it, right? The value of anything is what you would buy that for. And here we ask, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We look at what does a soul cost? There, unfortunately, has a, if you buy a new car, Ameris, you bought a new car this week. Is that right? I'm so excited for you. I want you to still live up on cloud nine for a second, but I want to tell you the reality of a new car. When you drive it off the lot, immediate, here's a word, depreciation. And I want you to enjoy your car. I'm not saying that. But the value, the minute it has become owned by an individual, the value goes down. Unfortunately, over the last period of time, the value of human life has gone down. According to Nielsen ratings, by the age of 12, a person will have seen on TV 8,000 murders. By the time they're 18, 200,000 murders. How many of you remember Compass Care? Compass Care is a company in town, and they are very much... they desire to try and help a young lady or a lady who is contemplating terminating a pregnancy to see it through. They give her options. They give her opportunities. So I called them this week and I said, I'm having a hard time finding accurate numbers for abortion. He said, the latest numbers that we had, and this was administration, this isn't just the person answering the phone, the latest numbers we have are based off of 2017, 860,000 children in the United States were aborted. That's over 2,300 a day. Now, Compass Care, I'm so thankful for this. Listen to this. Through October of 2020, this year, they have saved 306 children's lives. So how'd they do that? A young lady that was coming in looking to terminate a pregnancy, all they do is they put her in a room and give her an ultrasound. And they talk to her about options, and she sees that heartbeat and hears that heartbeat. That's a service not all services provide. Because they want to see the child live. 306 were saved. That's a blessing. Listen to this, though. Through Compass Care, 148 ladies have asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Because not only do they explain the opportunity to save a life, but they give them the gospel. And if a young lady, I'm just thinking, if a young lady's walking into a clinic with the intention of terminating a pregnancy, they got a lot of things going on in their life. And this company, praise the Lord, has had an opportunity to lead 148 ladies, that was as of Friday, to Christ. By age 18, average 200,000 murders. Every single day, 2,300 children are aborted in the United States. Latest numbers on suicide, 2018, 48,344 people took their own life in 2018. That's 130 a day in the United States. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Depression rates are at an all-time high. Senseless murders. So what does that mean? That's like not vehicle accidents, but two young people killing an elderly couple over $17. It's a young boy, 15, who was stabbed in his heart twice because someone else wanted his iPod. Say, what's going on? The problem is that we don't see the value of life. The value of life has been so depreciated. Say, well, we're Christians. We would never... Here's the reality. Unfortunately, many a times, as society goes, those views do trickle in, even into the church house. We see that in divorce rates. We see that in alcohol abuse. We see those things. The value of society are askew because people are too materialistic and ignore the root causes of the problem. Yes. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8 and verse 35, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Do you see? Do you see the comparison? The value of human soul, life, goes down as the profits go up. The more concerned about materialism, the less value we place on people. Ever get bad information? Ever act on bad information? Oh, that stinks. I hate that. We have children at our house. And one will come in crying. This one hit me. So as the good parent, I snap and respond and go grab the other one gently and caringly, dragging them to my room. Dad, wait, no, Dad, you're acting in anger. No, shut up, sit down, boom. And for a moment, there's a brief moment of thinking. And I ask a question. Did you hit your sibling? Yes. Okay, turn around. But wait. And then you get the rest of the story. I know that's a very simple illustration that plays out multiple times maybe in your own life. Or whatever it is, you've been given bad information about something, you act on it only to come find out that it's not true. I feel like our society has been given bad information, poor information. From a young person on up, we are being taught, or young people are being taught, that the world came from nowhere. And that the Bible is just some fabled book. That Genesis 1:1 never happened. Genesis chapter 2. So the world wasn't created by God, nor were you. You know what that removes? Value. Purpose. You're just another creature. We become just animals living in an ecosystem. And if I want to... Do we not see? I mean, we're watching. Maybe you're not watching TV like I'm watching TV, but something's out of whack when someone is standing there holding a sign for someone that they like, whether you agree with it or not. I don't care what the sign says, but that is no right to come up with a baseball bat. Someone walking down the street with a phrase on their t-shirt, that's not okay to then take your car and go at them. What happened? It's just animals treating animals like animals. Because that's what we've been taught. We've been given bad information. Our young people are not being taught that there's someone that loves them and created them and cares about them. but rather they've just been evolved through a number of chemical reactions, and you're here by chance. What happened? Life just depreciated. Even the experts in evolution don't even agree. And they remove all purpose of man, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. If we can, at the beginning of this book, if Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, if we can do away with Genesis 1:1, you know what that happens? All the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation is obsolete. And when we get to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, and it tells us our purpose here on earth, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. But if we don't believe that, and for thy pleasure they are and were created, we've lost even our very purpose in what we are to do. Yesterday, I started a couple weeks ago. I was driving in the truck and hit the brakes backing up, and I heard that, you know, that little warning thing that touches the brake just to let you know, hey, really soon you're going to want to change your brake pads. Brother Burkhardt, are you familiar with this thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many of you ignore that? Yeah. I wait till I hear the awful noise of metal on metal. So yesterday, I heard metal on metal. On Thursday, I thought, oh, all right. Oh, yes, the warning sign I failed to do. And I'm going to go. And I got the brake pads. I didn't buy the rotors because I just had to do the pads, because that's all that's bad. And I've gotten smart. Say, how so? I watch a YouTube video before. And there's a guy, and he says, here's what you're going to need. And I'm in there not trying to use a hammer like a screwdriver. And I'm not trying to compress a caliper using vice grips and some sort of crate. I get an actual C-clamp, and I do that. And I use the right tool for the right job. Say, how did it go? Well, I busted my knuckle a couple times, and I did have to go back and get rotors. But other than that, I had all the right tools doing all the right things. Man, it's nice when you have the right tools. I got a little tarp, and there's Sophie and I and Joe and I were sitting there, and I knew I was going to need socket number 12 and socket number 17. I knew I was going to need a C-clamp. I knew I was going to need brake cleaner, and I had all the stuff all laid out, ready to go. And they each fulfilled their purpose. So it is with you. God has a purpose and has a plan for you. And when we take away the beauty of God's creation, we devalue mankind. There's a group of people that say, well, look at that are foolish. Go to Psalm chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14 this morning. Look at verse 1. There's fools. See, ever have a fool try and convince you that they're right? Hey, let's go run down the railroad tracks. Oh, that's a great idea. Hey, let's stand on this bridge and jump into the water way down. Oh, that's a great idea. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Look at what they say. It continues. That's not the end of the verse. We know that part. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. There's a group of people that says that there is no God. You know what they just did? They devalued human life. There's a group of people that say that not only is evolution correct, not only is there no God, but the center of it all is mankind. Hey, I want to warn you against the theology of humanism. It is all equally as dangerous and destructive as evolution and atheism to say that you're the most important thing. Christ is the center of it all. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Be careful that you not act on poor information. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17 says this. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things He might have, what is that word? The preeminence. Who's most important? Christ is most important. Say, don't I have value? Oh, you have tremendous value. But what you think versus what Christ thinks is not the same thing. How many of you have ever been on a road trip and there you are and you're about 15 minutes out of the road or on the road and the kid's like, we're hungry. Sorry, you're going to have to wait 3 hours until we need gas. And sometimes in our Christian life, we're yelling at the Lord, I'm hungry. I want to stop. I need a break. I want this. It's what I want. It's all focused on what we want, rather than what the shepherd wants. It's humanism, placing man at the center of it all. No, Christ is the center of it all. Our fourth danger is materialism. I said this before. Not just man at the focus of it, but things. I'm here to tell you, think about the thing that you're trying to get most of all. The thing, a purchasable thing. Oh, we're saving up. I'm telling you, it's not all that. It's not as good as you may think it will be, and it will not satisfy you nearly as long as you may think. It's going to break. My sweet daughter Sophie, she's so excited. I'm telling you this, but don't ruin it for her. But she has $3, and she's excited. On sale right now at Walmart is a mechanical or a battery-powered toothbrush that she's going to spend $3 on, and she's excited. She was telling us at the dinner table, now don't go buy them all. They're on sale, all right? Don't ruin it. We're going to go there. She wants to get it. But she's saving, and she's excited. Sam said something the other day at the table when she was telling us about it. He just said it in passing. You get what you pay for. I hate it for her. Because she's expecting the $100 Sonic Super Industrial. But in a matter of a week or so, that battery-powered toothbrush is going to be just like all the other toothbrushes. If I just had that, I would be so happy. And we're all like Sophie to some degree. If I just got that new, I would be all set. And you get it, and after wearing it a couple times, there's a crease, there's a stain, there's a focus of materialism. When we place things higher in value than people, we devalue people. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Anybody have a least favorite verse? We all have favorite verses. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. No matter when I read that, it's always true. Look at Luke chapter 12. Be careful that stuff not become more important than people. Say, I would never. How much do you spend on stuff, and how much do you spend on people? How much effort do things get in your priority, and how much effort do people? Luke chapter 12 and verse 15 says this, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I am here to tell you that your value is not increased based on how much stuff you have. Little kids in Mexico or Haiti or Africa are not less valuable because they have less stuff. All the contrary. We are all equally valuable in the eyes of God. God has placed a high value on you. Again, something is only valued, its value is determined by what you will pay for it. If you went to Wegmans and you walked into Wegmans and they had milk for sale for $100 a gallon. We're drinking water this week. Juice, anything. Petroleum is cheaper than... No, it's not worth it. Right? So what is... go to Ephesians chapter 2. What is your value? We said this at the beginning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says that you were made alive. He bought you, we're told. You have great value. God gave up his most precious possession, his son, to pay for you. And your life is a gift. And he's given you a gift, eternal life. He loves you so much that he wants to spend eternity with you. Anybody ever have family come and visit? And you're looking at the calendar going, oh, just two more days, just two more days. And then they go back. I can be nice for two more days. 10 more minutes. I'll go start their car. I'll help them pack. I'll get their stuff into the vehicle. Just a few more minutes. I just got to make it. How about the Lord with you? I love you so much. I want to spend eternity with you. I don't want to spend eternity with myself. But God says, I love you so much. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to make a way that we can spend eternity together. And it's not going to cost you anything. Wouldn't that be nice, Justin, if someone came by and said, all right, here you go. I have all expense paid trip down to Orlando, Florida. Here are week-long passes. You're going to go to Universal. You're going to go to Epcot. You're going to go to Disney World. Anything. The meals are paid for. The flight is paid for. You get to bring 4 people. You can bring everybody. They just got to agree to go with you. And you're going to get, here's how much you have to spend on souvenirs. It's not going to cost you anything. That's what heaven is. Here, I built this for you, and we're going to spend eternity together. I'm actually going to take away all your sins. It's not, I just bring as many people as you can. Because God placed a high value on you. I was talking to a young man as in under 40 this past week. No, a couple. This past month. Things weren't going right in his life, and he said, if things don't turn around, If I don't get what I want, I might go to the other side. I'm usually in conversation, even if you say something really dumb or really mean to me, I'm really pretty controlled. I try and be extra gracious. But when he said that, I got very stern. Because in his mind, he undervalued his own life. Hey, I understand life isn't how we expect it. And we've been sold the bill of goods, thinking that maybe these possessions, and we've exchanged something or sought after something only to get it, not to find out it's what we wanted. But never will it ever be right or better to undervalue your own life. We do not have that right. God gave us life, and only He takes it. I don't care the circumstance. I don't care the situation. Because I've seen miracles way too many times. Ma'am, your child is going to be... Would you like us to end the term? And the pregnancy. Now, it is not within your right to terminate a life. It's not mine to have. I'm not entrusted with that power. Nor do I have the right to end my own life. You are special. Not because I said it, but because God said it. How special. We heard this past week. Brother Glisson preached to our young people in chapel. It was excellent. Leah, yes, were you in there? Okay. He talked about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I wish I was taller. Yeah, me too. I wish I was thinner. Yeah, me too. Wish I was richer. Yeah. I'm going to be content with how He made me. You are special. As an individual, you are made in uniqueness, and each have a special job. I again went into Matt's shop this past week, and I saw the things that he makes, and I look at that and go, man, that's so cool. You do such a great job. God's given you a gift, a skill. Maybe you could learn it if you spend a lot of as much time as he has on it, whatever. But I just look at some of that stuff and go, man, I'm glad I got a brother-in-law that can do stuff like that. And you know what? God has given you abilities and skills to be used for His honor and glory. And if you check out, the whole world will be missing out. Don't undervalue human life. There's a group of people out there that say that you're just a creation. You're not even created by God. You're just an animal. And whatever you feel like and whatever makes you feel good, that's what you can do. And if you want to terminate, you can't. That is ungodly. That is contrary to the things of God. So are you trying to promote a candidate? I'm trying to promote the value of life that God has dictated in His Word. You are special. You have value. Ever get annoyed with people? Say, that pretty much capsulizes 2020 for me. It's not if, it's when. What happened? Why are we so quick to treat people as annoyances or inconveniences? because we don't value them. Not only are you special, but understand this, the person sitting next to you, around you, outside of these walls, at that house there, down the road, across the sea, they're all valuable. There's not a group of people in this world that we say, you know what, it would be better if this group was gone. No. I've heard some foolish things said about even enemies to the United States of America. Be better if that was a giant hole in this earth. Let's just drop a bomb and just... Day's going to come when America makes a turn against God. I hope there's not a group of people saying, hey, let's just hit the button and end them. Just as your life is a gift, so are others. Matthew chapter 9, we're almost done. Matthew chapter 9. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. If you're watching the news and they're saying one thing that's contrary to the Word of God on this, be careful. There's a movement out there that's trying to devalue human life. You know what's next? Elderly. They have nothing to add to the society. Let's just put them in this little place over here. Let's give them the ability, if they're in so much pain, they could take their own life. That is not godly. Then next, those that are handicapped. I mean, come on. What are they doing? And then next, and then next, and then the ones that think like this. Every one is of the highest value. There's no possession in this entire world that is the highest valued possession is worth anything close to one soul. 900-foot yacht. That child is still more important. All the gold or all the tea, my mom would say, all the tea in China is not more valuable. Listen, this is an ethics class. Is not more valuable than the terminally ill elderly person who has weeks to live. No person is less valuable than a possession. But in our mind, we chase after possessions more than we chase after people. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Hey, who are these? These are the diseased. These are the sick. These are the, as would be categorized, worthless. And he had compassion. And they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So not only are you of the highest value, listen now, we're going to change the word, so are they. And every thought that you had about you transfers to them. Go to 1 John chapter 3 and we'll be done. 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. If that's in your heart, you've devalued what God says is the most important. This earth is going to be consumed by fire. Yet you'll make it. Every possession will be destroyed, but you'll live. The thing that he redeemed and spent his blood to die for and to purchase is you. And to think otherwise puts you in a pretty awful category. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So what's most valuable to you? Don't let the world depreciate the value of humankind. If we saw how important it was, you know what? It would change how we acted. I love when I hear about families, you know, living modestly to be able to save up to put a huge down payment on a house. You know, they work for years, 5 years maybe, living in an apartment or living in a modest little, under their cost of living, so they can save and put down a bunch of money on a nice house. And I rejoice over that. But tell me the soul that you've been chasing after for 5 years. Tell me the person that you've been endeavoring to reach for the cause of Christ as much as that vehicle or that bracelet or that. Be careful that we not devalue people. Let's all stand. The world will tell you you're worthless. Unless you can benefit it, you have no value. That's out of whack. They'll promote evolution and atheism and humanism and materialism. But God has promised us eternal life, has placed a very high value on life. And just how special you are. This morning, in a moment, the music's going to play. Maybe we just want to come and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to see people as you see people. Help me to see how special and valuable they are. Help me to not see those possessions as so valuable in my life. Help me to get away from the materialism of this world and run after what you have deemed as most important. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you bless us. Bless this invitation now. Lord, may you work in our hearts. Lord, change how we see things. Change how we see people around us. Lord, we need your help. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? The value of life.